You know, before we start the second half of the show, I just want to let you know that this is the last show of our season, and then we start up again in the fall. But we have had an amazing year. I did some statistics earlier today on what's been going on with Sound Falls. Since 2005, when we started, we've served over 2,000 people. I'm thinking closer to 2,500, but there's a lot of people I haven't been able to track in terms of seating and things. In 1 year, we had 60 artists performing and 500 people viewed it, our shows. And I think what's happening, and at least this is my wish, is that we're, in a way, we're changing how people view the arts by having the arts not be something that you go to outside of the community and spend a lot of money on, but something that happens from within your own circles. And it's Sound Falls. This show is also part of a greater program that I'm running called the Sound Falls Institute of Live Performance, in which I teach people from my home studio and also encourage them to get up on stage. And it's not just locals, but I'm working with people on a regional level, and then we've had some nationals come in, like Claudia Schmidt, who have been inspiring us, and Jean Mann is traveling around a lot too, and she's growing. And so what we do is we take people's creativity and we make it sacred and precious, and we lift it up and we celebrate it on this community-wide scale. And it's something that I find very precious, and it's what motivates me. So that's that. There is something else that happened today that is just incredibly good news. It was this week. I think Byron heard it on the news yesterday about how our gross national product formula has been changed, or it's being changed, because it's going to be calculating the time that's put into things that cannot be measured, and they're going to somehow measure these things like a creative process. So an artist doesn't just sell the painting, but there's the value of the time put into it. Or an architect or a teacher, you know, these hours have value, and I'm very excited about that. So we do have a long waiting list of artists who want to perform, and we're hoping to pull some funding together. I've been applying for grants to try to get some support for what we do. We usually have one show every other month on a Saturday, and we start up again probably in the first couple weekends in October. We have a show in October, and then probably one in late November, and then one again in February, and then April. That's the schedule for this year, and you can find all about it on soundfalls.org. So that's what I wanted to say. And just to get you thinking about accordion, I'm about to attempt to play the accordion. Okay, so I do play piano.
You play.
This accordion is Byron's, and occasionally I'll pick it up, maybe once every 4 years. So I'm going to be the background music for Gwen, who's going to come on up here. She's got three numbers for us, and I'll help her out on the first one, and then she's going to do a solo on a few more. Come on up, Gwen.
Thank you.
good cat.
Started working together last week on a couple of these songs, and I asked her how long she's been studying. She's a student of Darlene Rose and a member of the Valley of the Moon Fiddlers. And when I asked you how long you've been playing?
I've been playing since October 2011, so 3 years this October.
Yeah, isn't that amazing progress? I think there's some talent there. So, and how do you find time to practice? Because life is really busy, right? There's all kinds of distractions. So when do you find time to practice?
Well, I have orchestra on Tuesdays and Thursdays morning at 7 o'clock, and that goes for an hour. And on Thursday afternoons after school, I have a private lesson for 45 minutes, and then I try and practice every day for at least 15 or 20 minutes.
Every day. I hear that every day is the key, and it doesn't have to be a whole hour, even if it's just 5 minutes or something. And that's 7 a.m. practice that you do, right? See, that's serious dedication. Let's give her one more round of applause, everybody. Okay, Jen Dean. Welcome back up on stage for part two of her repertoire.
Doesn't have to be that low. I'm vertically challenged, yeah.
Isn't she cute? My God. How do you follow that? She's so cute and talented. It's like, I wish she was my kid, but then I'd have to pay for college. Who wants to do that? So, one thing that some of you, if it's your first time here at the barn, pay attention to these windows up here. You might see the owl fly in and out. The owl used to live in here. You can see the whitewash, and the owl used to fly back and forth. Many of you have told me So thankfully that won't happen this evening, but the owl does live up there in the external part of the box. And Roger, they have fledglings up there now, right? They haven't fledged, but I mean, there's some babies up there. So the owl was pretty active last night when we were in here setting up. So anyways, I have written some pieces about carnation. Many of them are on my blog. I moved here to the Valley 7 years ago this exact month. I started writing these pieces called Postcards from the Pacific Northwest, basically to convey what life was like here to my friends back in Boston and New York, because it's so amazing here, full of beauty and terror. And I modeled these pieces after the New York Times Rural Life column. And when the show poster was designed by Todd, I knew which piece I had to read. So this is a very short piece about someone that many of you knew. I came home one day and the cows were gone, their russet bodies and white heads no longer dotting the field like chess pieces. Their owner, Tractor Bob, had been threatening to sell them for months. I had come to depend on them, their abundant irregularities, their intractable legs, and their square heads. Each dark-lit morning on my way to work, I drove down the blue-shadowed foothills passing Bob's tiny trailer. After my drive home from Seattle every day, when I dropped back down into the river valley, I felt the day's irregularity solidify into something dependable, faultless. The cows were a part of that. Every afternoon, Bob, who was old and deaf, drove a decrepit red truck along the road trailing hay. His herd calved early that winter, and its barbed wire fences barely kept the cattle in, and often, at night, coming around a corner, one of the bulls stood in the middle of the road, stoic, still chewing on the day's memory. Now, only one cow remained. She grazed in the wet field, her large, watery eyes taking me in as I stood near the fence. I learned her name was Dolly. Studies of cows reveal they have remarkable cognitive and emotional abilities. They form small social groups within a herd and can hold grudges against other cows for years. They can suffer anxiety, fear, and worry about the future. Bob knew none of this, I bet, but he knew how to raise the best cattle in the valley. The day after he sold the herd, Bob died. I had only known him for several months. His mind by then resembled an old typewriter with keys missing. But he knew my car and always waved. His passing affected me in strange ways. My patience for change had been squandered by a cross-country move, a divorce, and a new job. I held on to the temperate constancies I had, the tall western cedars, the cottonwoods lined with eagles' nests, a barred owl calling up the dawn, and the picturesque tableau of morning cows. The Sunday I drove to his memorial service at the senior center, it began to hail, the kind of hail that drove decades of past grievances down your collar. My neighbors were there, the shepherdess who worked for the FAA, the social worker, the retired landscape painter. We swapped pleasantries over styrofoam cup coffee, and I learned that the remaining cow was still in Bob's field because she had refused to get on the truck to be sold. The sun came out when I left, and driving up to my place, I paused and looked at his land, the place he refused to leave to go to the hospital. His ancient green and blue John Deere sat parked where his trailer had been, the grill covered with a small bouquet of flowers, his black rubber boots posed in front. The sun lit up the grass, the stagnant brook, and the copse out of which the ravens flew. Several large brown vultures worried something near the ditch. Bob's caretaker said I could walk out and have a look. There, in four parts, lay the flayed white sections of a calf, a flank with a curvilinear piece of spine, a hoof, a scapula, and a front leg. His caretaker joined me, and we slowly walked over to where Dolly the cow stood. She squatted down in front of Dolly, who was chewing grass and eyeing us with a weary stare, her full udder dangling between her legs. Well, that's why she wouldn't get on the truck, his caretaker said. I remember that calf. I had to help it up the bank sometimes. We walked back to the road, the caretaker's two brown horses trailing us. Back east, in my old life, death felt hostile and remote. But here, up close, I felt something else. I felt its integrity. Fingering the dead calf's jawbone in my hand, we climb back through the fence. Thank you.
But nice again, Jen. That was beautiful. So now we have a wonderful singer, songwriter, Jay Pinto. Jay's out there. Where is Jay? I can't see. Oh, I see the rustling. And why don't you come on up and get ready? I met Jay just after our last Sound Falls, I think. He was over at our place, and we've been listening to his CD quite a bit. Kind of catchy, if to say the least. And so it's great to have him here with us tonight for his debut Sound Falls performance. It's always kind of fun to have new voices here.
Hello. This is such an awesome space. Thank you very much for having me here. One of my boys to work, and the battery was dead in the car. So he handled that, and got about halfway to his job, and we ran out of gas. That made me think of this song, so I'm going to play it.
These are the longest days. Now rolls like waves on the shore. And you got of a fisherman.
Last May, and this is the title song from it, and it's a song I wrote with my good friend Steve Fletcher, aka Fletch. This is called Blink.
I don't want to close my eyes, might miss something nice, wouldn't be surprised. The world is changing faster than you think. Every time you blink, we keep on making vows, beat the odds somehow, hold on to the now. Troubles look so big and then they shrink. Every time you blink, sunsets in the west. At least it looks that way. From another point of view, it never goes away.
Thank you.
I think I'll do another one that Fletch and I wrote, and then I won't do any more from the Fletcher Pinto songbook. This is called You Can't Take That Away.
I don't need them anymore. Everything that's new today is new before. All in all, it's plain to see that nothing but there's grace in fleeting moments as they pass. You can't take that away, can't take that away, can't take that away from me. There's nothing you can do, no matter what you say, you can't take that away. On the other side of losing you, I swear I'll love you more. Throw your anger out the window. Walks through the door. Funny when you're still, you find you're who you've always been. Oh, you have to let it go, to let it in. You can't take that away, you can't take that away, you can't take that away from.
Participation thing, Mara. Okay, I'll give you another chance on another song. There was a moment there.
Can't say I remember much about the place where I was born. Seems I've spent a lifetime looking for somewhere to call home after all my restless wandering. I believe this to be true. It's not where you are, but who. I had my share of lovers up and down the line. Some I left with broken hearts. Some they left with mine. Hearts and souls I've never thought about. I think about them now. It's not who you love, but how. So many days I wasted. Looking back, I don't know what I'd change. Friend of mine once told me we're only just a state of mind. So I sit alone here, strumming my guitar. Time is just a circle. I've been here a thousand times before. After all, it's not where you are, but who. It's not where you are, but who.
Thank you very much. That also is on my new CD. If you're interested in that, see me after the show. I have a few of them. A couple. Maybe. It's pretty good. Some people will vouch for that, I think. So, my favorite artists are Paul McCartney and Paul Simon, the Pauls.
Yeah.
And anytime I'm sort of a musical dilemma, whether I'm working on my own stuff or somebody else's, I sort of reference the Pauls. There's some answer in their records. And so, anyway, this is a song that I wrote. Well, that was made for loving you. That's like my version of a Paul Simon song. I remember when I said there'd be another opportunity for you to participate. You'll have a chance on this song. One look was all it took. You spied me, cast a line, reeled me in, and I was hooked. I shook and wriggled on your shore, but I don't have the will to fight you anymore. I love you in the morning, I love you in the night. I need you like Picasso needed blue. It's hard to admit, I'm hesitant to quit. I was made for loving you. I was made for loving you. Some men are born to lead. Poets, politicians, philosophers, and priests. Some of them fly like Apollo in the sky. Others only follow. Happy to comply. I love you in the morning, love you in the night. I need you like a detective needs a clue. It's hard to admit it. I can't see the point. I was made for loving you. I was made for loving you. Oh, I clap?
I'm
Keith.
Thank you, Jay. Love that. My feet were tapping the whole time you played.
You know, I was in the back there. It's always fun, and especially with Jay playing there with the hard strumming. All the kids in the back were doing air guitar. You got them going on that. And then, like, there were a couple of rows here in the middle that were doing the foot thing, because you had to find some feet, and I love that. And I was doing this kind of, sort of, for a while. You know, it was good. Like, you got people moving. I don't know if you can see it out there, but it was great. Thank you. Thanks a ton. That was wonderful.
So, you know, when every time I look over there and I see one of you coming in the door, I'm very excited and happy. We have a great audience. We have in you a great audience.
We have in you
a great
audience.
You've got to come back next time and spread the word, because we have lots of good shows.
Come back next time.
You know, I'm up here doing all this talking and this stuff, and the spotlight's on me, and I don't know if I absolutely love it, but it's fun. But I want to make sure that there's other people who get some spotlight as well. So we're going to do some credits here for, first of all, the Poindexters. I would like to thank Stuart Broome, Claire Conrad, Denny Redmond, and Rick Schuer, and storyteller Jen Dean for all her time this evening. Amazing. Sharing her story. Young artist Gwen Burdick. She has an instant fan club here, I think. And we have the Sound Bites accompaniment band with keyboards, Todd Powell. I also have to tell you that Todd not only plays piano, but he's a filmographer or videographer. He has posted a fantastic video of what we do here. Some of the highlights of our shows are online if you want to see that. He seems to always be available to help out when we need him, so I'm very grateful for Todd Powell. We have George Seacomb as well. He's been our sound technician. AKA Lionel Richie on demand. And I was the accordion player this evening. Byron Ricks is also up here with me as the guy who should have been playing accordion. And we are co-hosts. And I'd like to also quickly run through the fact that we've got lots of other people helping too. Colleen Becker is our food technician. Actually, food artist. And I'm telling you, she was just all over the place today finding the perfect stuff. That smoked salmon, you know.
Carve some Spam next time. Into like a big frog.
Well, that's what he wants. Okay. There was like gluten-free bread over there for me and all kinds of things, you know, for all kinds of dietary needs. You know. Okay, we have John Coates on audio recording. Loyal John. And photographer Janice Van Dyke, who's been best for several shows now. Behind the scenes is Denise Crutchfield doing some web assistance. And we also have these flowers were by Todd's mother, Todd Powell. Her name is Jackie Powell. She couldn't make it tonight, but she's awesome. And of course, the Starbucks was donated by the local Starbucks shop. And we also have Roger Thorson with us this evening, and we are always glad to have Roger with us. The owner. Let's get the band back up here, any performer who wants to. And if you have a desire to be on stage and haven't been on stage all night, you can come on up now too, because we're going to do a sing-along, one song. Lots of you know down by the riverside, while people are getting their instruments, I'm going to tell you that I found out something very interesting about this song, other than the fact that maybe some of you remember that McDonald's used part of Down by the River. Riverside in their lyric. Do you remember that? McDonald's is my kind of place. You know, okay, right. Well, lots of other people made this song famous before they did. In fact, it was put in print for the first time in 1918, and 14 black gospel recordings were made even before World War II of this piece. Elvis sang this piece, all kinds of folks. Louis Armstrong. You gotta look up on YouTube Mahalia Jackson singing this. I was in tears this morning looking at YouTube. Isn't that embarrassing? Nobody saw me though. Dirty Dozen Brass Band, Van Morrison, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Nat King Cole, all these people. So we're gonna, I'm sure you all remember Down by the Riverside. And we're gonna have Denny lead us in this. And I'll be doing some harmony. There's an arrangement that they have of this band has, the Poindexters has an arrangement that I haven't heard of before. We're going to start out with Down by the Riverside, and then we're going to lay down our swords and shields.
Down by